we decided that we should ask two, or actually four candidates for the Wisconsin Congressional District number two. No, that can't be right. Oh, it is. I get confused with these high numbers. My vote totals. So we're going to do Mark first, and then Kelda, and then Dave. So, please welcome to the podium, Mark Polkett. Mark.
Thank you. And thanks, Ed. I can already tell that this isn't this weekend's Americans for Prosperity event they had for Rick Santorum. At that event, the McLiar Institute had videos about the Wisconsin uprising, and they mentioned a few names. And they mentioned Russ Feingold, and the crowd booed. And then they mentioned my name, and the crowd booed, but not as much as they did for Russ. So I have a new campaign goal, is I want to get there where Russ is with the Americans for Prosperity crowd. I know many of you, and you've known me for the last 19 years of my public service. I've been a proven fighter for progressive values in Wisconsin. Congress needs someone who's experienced, a tough, progressive fighter. The Tea Party isn't just out there to tweak programs. They're out to completely destroy the programs in the social safety network that we have built for a half a century in this country. And there's just too much at stake just to talk the talk. In fact, even walking the walk isn't enough. We need people who fought the fight, and I have fought the fight on so many battles over the last 14 years in the legislature. I have battle scars, and I am proud of those battle scars from the fights that we've had, and I can take that to Washington. For those of you who may not know that much about me, I have served three terms on the Dane County Board of Supervisors at the local government level, and then was elected to the state legislature in 1998. And I've been serving there now in my seventh term. Over the years, I've been proud to work with many of you in this room on various issues, often led by our friend here, Ed Garvey. You may remember when we had the lawsuit against the voter file with Accenture, when they were going to create this suit that we knew was going to cost and throw away $27 million. Well, I was part of that class action suit that Ed put together. I was there with Ed when we fought the Supermax prison, the terrible conditions, the deplorable conditions, and we had a strong resolution, and no longer are there juveniles or people who are mentally ill placed in the Supermax because of the efforts of Ed and so many others in this room. So thank you for that. I was proud last session when the Democrats were in control. The very second bill we passed as a legislature was Senator Bob Wirch and my bill called the American Jobs Act. We had taxpayer dollars that used to go to a call center in Green Bay for people who needed help with food stamps. Somehow we're going to India. And it didn't make any sense that we were using state tax dollars for that. So we passed that law, and that was the very second law we passed as Democrats. And I'm proud to have shepherded that through the legislature. Thank you. A bill that I'm extremely proud of was the Compassionate Care for Rape Victims. It took 8 hard years to get that passed, but we had a situation where about 40 to 45% of the hospitals in Wisconsin, if you were raped and went to the emergency room, you would have access to emergency contraceptives. But working with our outside coalition partners and fighting it hard, we wound up passing that bill. And more importantly, it's the only time in my career I've seen the majority party, at the time the Republicans, schedule a bill the majority of them didn't intend to vote for. So we really got something done, and that was our first pro-choice victory in a decade in Wisconsin. And I'm glad, I'm very proud to be part of that bill. And as a member of the Finance Committee, I was proud to do things like making sure that we expanded health care to every child in Wisconsin, to childless adults who got benefits. Can you imagine, we became number one or two in the country for access to health care. If we took that same kind of negotiating that we did there to the federal level, how we could not be fighting about what we're fighting about in health care right now. And ultimately, we're going to need a single-payer health care system, and I'm committed to making sure that I will do everything I can to get there eventually in the U.S. Also, another subject a lot of people are too afraid to talk about. When I was co-chair of the Finance Committee along with Senator Mark Miller last session, we went and raised revenue. We raised taxes on those who could most afford it. The top 1 to 2%, we raised that rate 1%, and we closed corporate loopholes. Can you imagine if we did that at the federal level, we wouldn't be debating about trying to reduce Social Security and Medicare? That's what I want to take to Washington. I want to take those same skills to Washington, D.C. I have fought Scott Walker over and over and over again in this tough year, to the point that Nation magazine said I was one of the top 25 faces of the uprising. And I will continue to do that same sort of level of progressive agitation as necessary in Washington. And finally, I've been one of the national leaders in trying to expose the American Legislative Exchange Council, better known as ALEC, which really is nothing more than a corporate dating service between special interests and legislators. I have a career of not being afraid to stand up to the powerful and corporate special interests, and I have fought and won on many battles, and I'm proud of that. I've been able to do that, and I will be just as strong a progressive fighter in Congress as I have been in the Wisconsin legislature. We need to overturn Citizens United. I think that's the biggest threat to democracy I have seen in my country. We need to fight not only to make sure that the Affordable Care Act is fully implemented, but more important, we need to get to the point that we have a universal single-payer system so that every single person is covered with health care in this country. We need to fight for American jobs, and we need to make sure that corporations pay their fair share, like every single person in this room does. We need to fight so that a woman has access to comprehensive health care. No ifs, ands, or buts. I will fight like I have in the legislature to ensure that that is taken care of. And finally, I want to make sure that we do not enter another warrantless war where we risk the lives of both U.S. soldiers and other citizens. I plan on working very actively with the Progressive Caucus in Congress to make sure that I can help get these things done. In fact, George Miller, Congressman George Miller, the co-founder of the caucus, has endorsed my candidacy. So all I ask today is I think this district has a special obligation, not just to elect someone who will vote right, but someone who will be there and fight like hell every single day. We need a people's representative, and I will do that. I promise I would appreciate your support on August 14th. Thank you very much.
I'm not introducing them with things, because so many good things can be said. I would take much more than their 5 minutes. So please welcome Kel DeRoy.
Being here. My name is Kelda Helen Royce, and I'm running for Congress to help bring this Wisconsin fighting spirit to Washington, D.C., where they sorely need it. I grew up here on the north side of Madison, and since I was a little girl, I've been protesting and rallying, so this past year has felt very, very comfortable to me. I had the honor of serving as the Democratic Caucus Chair during the last 14 months as we've been fighting back against Governor Scott Walker and his attack on working families. I'm a two-term state legislator. I served both in the majority and the minority. But before that, I spent 4 years as executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin, fighting on some of the toughest issues on the front lines to defend access to health care for women, including the right to a safe legal abortion, which is under attack. I think in Congress, we need someone more than ever who's going to stand up and be not just a good vote on the issues, because I think everyone on this stage would be a good vote on most of the issues, would probably vote similarly, but who is going to be the most passionate, the strongest voice on so many of these issues that other Democrats are afraid to take on. My career is based not only on being a passionate progressive, but on building a grassroots movement. The legislature is important, but I don't know how many of you in this room were really disappointed when we had the majority. We had the Senate, we had the Assembly, we had the governorship. All of us were Democrats. Think about how much more we could have done. We still have a criminal abortion ban on which that could have been repealed. We still made serious cuts to education when the Democrats were in power. We need somebody that's going to fight against that, to fight to turn the ship around, not just to do policies that are a little bit better than what the Republicans have to offer, but to offer a totally different vision for this country than what the Tea Party is offering. That's But you can't do that unless you build a movement. It's not enough to just elect progressives to office, because as we've seen, we have to be there as people to hold their feet to the fire, because when you're in that Capitol building, let me tell you how many lobbyists come and visit you. One of the first fights I took on when I became a state legislator was to go after big chemical companies who are putting poisonous, toxic chemicals in children's baby bottles and sippy cups called bisphenol A. It's an endocrine disruptor and a neurotoxin. And the chemical companies have been arguing for decades, oh, it's safe and it's fine, just like they've done time and time again, just like the tobacco companies did. And you would not believe how many lobbyists walked into my office and said, oh, Kelda, really, BPA is safe, or the science is out. If you don't believe it's safe, the science is out. Just wait to regulate it. I said no, hell no, and I fought them, and we won with huge bipartisan support. That's the kind of progressive energy we need to stand up to the corporate special interests. Now, I'm a lawyer by training, so I really enjoy the legislative part of making laws and making public policy. But the reality is that if we're going to fight the powers that be, we have to take on corporate interests, not just in the legislative process and the lobbying process, but at election time too. And that's why early on when I made the decision to run for Congress, I said, I am not going to take one dime, not one penny, of corporate PAC money. And I'm one of very few congressional candidates in this whole country that has made that commitment. But I did it because when I go to Washington, D.C., I don't want any one of you to have a sliver of a doubt that the decisions I make are going to be based on what I think is the right thing for our community, for our state, and for our country, and not what it's going to mean for me in corporate PAC dollars. So in closing, I'll just say that I'm delighted to be here. I'm so glad that the People's Legislature is talking about campaign finance reform and ending corruption that that our current system engenders. But we have to listen to candidates, not just who are willing to say that corporate money is bad, but who are willing to make the personal sacrifice to say, I'm going to lead by example. I'm not just going to tell you that corporate money is bad. I'm not accepting it in my campaign. And we're running a strong grassroots campaign. That's why I've earned the endorsement of 5 out of the 6 Democratic Party county chairs, numerous grassroots organizers who know that I've been on the ground for a decade, knocking on doors, at grassroots events, at volunteer phone banks. That's how you win elections. That's how you enact progressive policies and hold our feet to the fire. So I ask for your support on August 14th. I'm grateful to all of you for being here and helping make this happen. Ultimately, we want to bring the People's Legislature into our state capital and to the federal capital. I thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to fighting with you.
Dave Warzal.
Thank you, Ed, and I want to thank the People's Legislature for hosting this candidate forum. We were talking earlier, there haven't been many of these types of events, and they're very important, so you can hear where the candidates stand on the issues and why we're running for office. I'm thrilled to join you for the Tin Cup Movement to get special interests out of politics. I'd like to tell you now a little bit of why I got into this race. Unfortunately, we're losing a great congresswoman in Tammy Baldwin. Fortunately, we're winning a great senator in Senator Baldwin. And I'm running because I believe we need a strong progressive voice to follow in the footsteps of Tammy, and I'm confident that that person is me. I'm currently the Dane County Treasurer. If you think that means I'm a numbers guy, you're right. Or you've been talking to my family, my friends, people I've worked with. But I'm a whole lot more than just a numbers guy. My budget experience extends back to the Clinton administration in the early 90s, where I worked for the Office of Management and Budget. My role there was to push for the passage and implementation of the reauthorization of the highway bill. It was a $218 billion transportation bill that created 9 million good-paying American jobs. Those are the kind of things we need to do again in Washington. I'm running for Congress because at every level of my career, whether it's been at OMB or for Vice President Gore's Reinventing Government Initiative, or here at the state level, or as Dane County Supervisor, or Dane County Treasurer, I've tried to take progressive values that we share and turn them into policy. I want to take that experience to Washington because we know that the Republicans are attacking Social Security, education, Medicare, and Medicaid. And they're doing it, just as Governor Walker did here, by attacking the budget process. And I have the skills and the knowledge in that area to protect those programs. And I also want to stop the influence of special interests. And Kelda's comments earlier are interesting for, because of what I'm about to say. Speaking of special interests in politics, we all know that we have to reform the way Washington works. Right now, we see that the people's interests aren't being addressed, but rather the corporations, the special interests. And that's because they're the biggest donors to the politicians. And so, like Kelda, I'm announcing that I'm refusing all PAC donations to my campaign, and I'm only accepting campaign contributions from individuals. I'll be on the phone a lot more. And if you haven't gotten already, I'll send you a mailing as well. All right. Consider what's going on with the influence of money in politics. Super PACs, you all know this, super PACs are raising millions of dollars to influence elections. Since Citizens United, over half, $500 million has been spent. That was in 2010, the ruling. And over $500 million has been spent to influence by corporations, special interest groups, to influence the elections. So we need to limit that influence, and that's why I'm refusing the PAC money to my campaign. By doing so, I will represent only the residents of the 2nd Congressional District and pick up where Senator Feingold left off and try to work to curb the cronyism and corruption that is in Washington. When you come to Congressman Warzala's office and you want to share your concerns or your community's concerns, I don't want you to think there's a thumb on the scale over your issue because I've taken special interest money. So I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak today, and I look forward to answering any questions that you have.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Matt Silverman, and I'm running for Congress because I believe every election is an opportunity. And this year, we have the opportunity to change the way we practice politics in America. And first and foremost, that means getting big money and special interests out of politics. And now, from day one, my campaign has refused donations from all PACs. I accept donations from individuals and individuals only. When I announced my candidacy last November, I said I promised to run a campaign of ideas, and that's exactly what I've done. It's a campaign free from big money and free from special interests. And I'm proud to say, you know, I've lived up to that, and the campaign is running strong. I was asked here today to talk about money in politics. And having spent the last few months running a campaign deeply committed to that issue, I have a lot to say, and I know you guys do too. So, you know, getting money and special interests out of politics is something everyone in this room agrees with. And it's something the people of the 2nd Congressional District want. And it's rare today when you can say the people want anything. You know, in America today, we disagree on so much. But I can honestly say the people want big money and special interests out of politics. Now, I'm running for Congress to represent you, and this is what you want, and it's an issue that is simply too big to ignore. Now, everyone believes that money, big money, special interests, are a negative influence on politics today, but I think it's important to articulate why. You know, I believe the money and the influence from all sides causes us to lose faith in our own government. You know, if we want to believe that our representatives are working for us, if we want to trust them, we have to know that they are not working for PACs, for organizations, for money. They have to be working for us and us alone. So the problem is clear, but you know, the solution is not. The fact of the matter is, the winners of elections get to write the campaign finance rules. You know, so relying on a politician who takes that money to then turn around and fix the problem, I think is never going to happen. So what we need to do is lead from the front. We need to elect candidates who refuse to take the money, who refuse to take the big money from special interests. What we need are leaders, leaders who do the right thing even when no one is looking. And frankly, the 2nd Congressional District is the perfect place to start. What we're talking about here are Democrats competing with Democrats to win a Democratic nomination in a safely Democratic district. You know, this is not an us versus them fight. This is Democrats fighting to represent you and what you want to see in government. That is why I'm running a campaign of ideas. You know, I'm running to represent you. And I can tell you from doing this for the last few months, it truly is something new and different. You know, there are people who say it can't be done. There are lots of people who say it can't be done. But I think those of us in this room are going to show them that it can be. For the last few months, I've been traveling all across the 2nd Congressional District, from Baraboo to Beloit, from Darlington to Cambridge, and almost every town in between. You know, I'm not going to have the money to run slick 30-second TV ads. So this is what I have to do. I have to talk to people. I have to rely on you. You know, and I talk to everyone, and I talk to anyone. And I answer all the questions I'm asked. And most importantly, I talk about the issues. You know, this is what a campaign free from big money and free from special interests looks like. And this is what the future of politics in America has to look like. In this new type of campaign, I need two things from you. I need your vote on August 14th, because the only way we get the big money out is to vote it out. And the second thing I need from you is your voice. You know, I need you to tell your friends and family, your coworkers and neighbors, there is a better way forward, that I stand with you against big money, against special interests, and we can find a better way forward. Your voice may be free, but it is the most valuable part of my campaign. Thank you.
I can now confide in you that one of the reasons I am not seeking office is that all four of these people are a hell of a lot smarter and better. Please give another round of applause. Sam, are there going to be questions of these?
Yeah.
Now, are you going to use that microphone? Don't jump. Yes.
Okay, we've collected some questions from the audience, and why don't I start by asking a question from an audience member who'd like each of you to describe your primary environmental policy.
If you don't want to answer, just say so.
Well, you know, there's a lot of environmental policies. I would say, if I had to take a primary one, it would be how do we go towards more renewable energy in this country? 98% of the money we spend on energy in this state leaves Wisconsin. We tried last session, and I helped to try to get some windmill siting legislation done so we could attract that industry to Wisconsin. And then we watched Scott Walker almost kill it this year. We did lose about a year and a half. We lost some companies coming here. But the more that we can invest and focus on renewable energy, wind and solar, it's going to solve the problems of fossil fuel-based economy.
Kelly?
Thank you. I think that addressing global warming and climate change is the issue that my generation will have to fix, or else our whole economy is at risk, our planet is at risk, our health is at risk. This is an issue that I'm very passionate about and have been since I was a little girl. My stepdad is an environmental lawyer, so he was teaching me about non-point source pollution when I probably should have been learning addition and subtraction. But this is also one of the areas where we can really see the influence of big money and corporate money on our politics, impacting our energy policy. Look at what President Obama did. He said, we're going to stop the Keystone Pipeline. Wait a minute. No, we're not. We're going to expedite the southern portion of that. That right there tells you what we need in the second district. We need to put somebody in Congress who's willing to put a stake in the ground on some of these issues to create a left flank so that President Obama doesn't have to be so responsive to the right wing and these corporate special interests that want to pollute our air, pollute our soil, pollute our water, and put this country and this planet into an irreversible decline. We have got to address this issue quickly and with all of our passion.
I think that the area that I agree with both the first two as well, but I think we also have to work on conservation. And one of the things President Obama did do that was very good was to raise the CAFE standards, which will make us less dependent on oil and use less oil. And similarly, we need to invest in a smart electric grid because that will allow us to not need as many power plants. And even if when we do increase renewables, it will reduce the need for electricity. And then lastly, it creates jobs. You know, we export about, I think it's $18 billion worth of fuel costs out of Wisconsin every year. And if we can spend some time improving homes, improving buildings, and making them more energy efficient, it not only creates jobs, it lowers the business and people's costs for their electricity and fuel. And so it's a win-win. So I think that's one that we need to invest in.
Thank you.
So like my fellow candidates, I agree the environment, I think, is one of the most important issues for my generation because, frankly, the effects are long-term and they are long-lasting. And I believe what we need in this country is a carbon tax. What we need is a coherent policy to remove fossil fuels from our sphere of life. You know, acting on an individual pipeline or an individual drilling permit or an individual this or that is fine when you have a Democrat in the White House. They at least make the right decision most of the time. But that's not always going to be true. We need a coherent policy to get off carbon. And to me, that's a carbon tax. Now, the last thing I want to say, it's going to be difficult and it's going to hurt people's pocketbooks, and I understand that. But the cost of not doing it, the cost of doing nothing, far outweighs the immediate cost of implementing a new policy. Thank you.
Thank you. One more question.
Hey, everyone. So this question has got two parts, but the crux of it is about how can you get bipartisan cooperation in this time and place in Congress, especially on divided issues. And some that have been mentioned is tax reform. And another issue is the decline in the quality of work. We're talking about workplace standards. So not only a jobs crisis in numbers, but specifically what kinds of jobs we have. So quality of work and tax reform, two issues that I think need bipartisan support. So what are your ideas? How can you get that?
Great question. So I'm gonna just attack the first part of that. I don't think we have a lot of time. So how do we actually achieve our goals? I think that's the question, because like a number of my fellow candidates have said, we likely stand similarly on many issues. But the question is, what can we achieve in Congress? And I believe that compromise is the fundamental building block of democracy, that you cannot achieve a working democracy without it. And that doesn't mean finding common ground. That's a good first step. And you know, given the politicians we have in Washington, that's certainly the first step towards where we need to go. But unless you can convince a vast majority of Americans that you're right and convince them that they're, you know, to teach their children the same so they never change their mind, what you have to do is compromise. And so I believe that compromise means giving up something you want to get something you need. And that's very difficult to talk about, and it's very difficult to articulate, which is why I think it doesn't come up on the campaign trail. But that is the only way forward. And one of the first steps to that is refusing all organizational money. You know, when I sit down with a Republican, we look at each other across the table. He or she might disagree with what I'm saying and what I believe, but they need to know I'm doing it because I represent you and not because I've been bought by Union X or Union Y. Thank you.
This question is asked in one form or another, at every meeting, forum, anywhere you go, on talking to folks on the phone. How are you going to get past the gridlock? And how are you going to get agreement? First of all, I always say this. I'm not giving up my principle. I'm not giving up the priorities that I believe in, because that's not something I'm willing to do just to get a compromise. The other answer I give is something I learned from Congresswoman Barbara Jordan, who was my mentor down in Texas when I went to graduate school. She said, David, take your job seriously, become an expert. And I've done that in all of my jobs. And I've noticed in the elected arena, when your fellow elected see you as an expert, regardless of the topic matter, or their party, they will come and talk to you because you're a peer. They want to know from somebody who is experiencing the same thing, that what are the pros and the cons of the issue. And if they respect you and they know that you're a serious legislator, they will come and seek you out. Now, is that enough to get compromised with some of these folks out there? Heck no. We all know that. You can't compromise with some of these folks. And so we'll have to fight them election by election by election. But I do think that you don't compromise your principles, you work hard, become an expert, get the respect of your peers, and then you just keep pushing for the issues.
Concealed weapons, that is not the answer.
No.
Although apparently some of our assembly colleagues think that it is. Well, I've worked successfully across the aisle since long before I was in the legislature. And I'm very proud that the legislation I've passed has been on a strong bipartisan basis. When I was in law school at our great UW, I had the privilege of working on the Innocence Project. And we saw systematically how people were sent to prison because of a couple of errors in the criminal justice system, systematic failures. And we said, we've got to do something to prevent wrongful conviction from happening. And we went around, the Republicans were in control at that time, this was 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, so we went around and talked with Republicans, and wouldn't you know it, but Mark Gundrum, who is one of the most conservative legislators that we've ever had, he's from Waukesha, part of darkness, and he turned out to be our champion on that issue. And he, of course, it was because he wanted to see the guilty person in prison. We just wanted the innocent people to not be in prison. So we found common ground, took a risk working with each other, you know, from the left and the right, and were able to move forward. The second example is when I was executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. We were working very, very hard under difficult circumstances to try to have proactive legislation. So we're not always fighting on the defensive on reproductive rights. So the Compassionate Care for Rape Victims legislation had languished for session after session, and a number of us on the progressive advocacy organization side, Planned Parenthood, the Coalition Against Sexual Assault, healthcare providers, faith communities, came together. We did petition drives for, I think, almost 2 years, collecting tens of thousands of signatures from citizens all over the state of Wisconsin. When we couldn't get a hearing on the Republican-controlled legislature, we set up our own hearings, sometimes in the district of these vulnerable Republicans that we wanted to impact. So we created a huge grassroots movement that created momentum and put political pressure on Republicans to do the right thing. And so when you take a risk and you build a movement, you really can get things done. And we had two Republicans in the assembly that were persuaded by the grassroots movement and by our individual efforts to try to show them the right thing to do for rape victims. They agreed to help that legislation become law. They took a risk, stood up to their own conservative leadership, and that bill was finally passed. So it can be done.
Yeah, this is one where I think really having the experience that I've had over 19 years, I've had to learn how to do this. You know, when I first got elected, I was a bomb thrower. I threw grenades just to watch them explode.
Who didn't?
Who didn't? And then I learned how to be very strategic with it. And I think, you know, the best way is really a third-party reference on this. The Milwaukee Magazine in 2009 did a review of the legislature. They ranked everyone in the legislature. They talked to journalists and Democrats, Republicans. I was ranked as the best legislator in the state, one, for my ability to get things done, but two, for my ability to work with people on the other side of the aisle. That doesn't mean you compromise your values. I will never compromise my values. But there are ways to learn how to work with others. And I think two examples that Kelda brought up are great examples. You know, I led that coalition on the compassionate care where we got that bill done, and working with the partners and by setting up those hearings, we did the right work, and I got that done with a Republican legislature. I was very proud of that. And on the Innocence Project, I just this session introduced a bipartisan piece of legislation with Representative Gary Bies, a Republican from Door County, a former deputy sheriff, head of the Corrections Committee, to introduce so we could get something done. So I have a strong track record in this area. I'm very proud of that. But I think the key is you don't compromise on your values, but you find other ways to bring in common interest, and you can get something done, and I've been able to do that in my career.
Thank you. As we gather the questions here, could we send the questions to the four of you, and you respond in writing so we can distribute it? Because we're time is always kind of rough. I just want to say on behalf of all of you, I'm just proud to be here with these four people. I think.